Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border from Odessa. Because, well, we're still here. We are about to go to Kyiv soon, because the whole curfew thing had been extended throughout tomorrow, and it might get a bit too hot for our liking. We're still working on the bureaucracy here, because the accreditation documents have been sent in, but it's Saturday, so no answers from the Ministry of Defense yet. But we're about to get them on Monday. We'll be in Kyiv at that point. We'll travel around Ukraine a bit. We're not leaving yet, so that's nice. Odessa is a really nice place, too, once you get used to the air raids and the sirens and all that stuff. But actually, I'm still amazed how quickly you can get used to everything. Because of that bureaucracy, we haven't been able to get a couple of interviews that we really wanted to. But we have some things scheduled for us in Kyiv, and after we're done with that, then we'll make sure to do some more journalism. It just feels really weird that, you know, because of how basically everything functions and everything works, we can't really do our jobs that well. At any rate, we're trying to do what we can and not get into any trouble because, well, the people are fun, but everyone's getting a bit iffy and uppity about all the things, which is understandable. After all, this is a war zone. But, well, so that we would still focus on everything, I have some news for you for today, and some really good ones, to be honest. For one, I would like to congratulate all the American listeners here. Well, you might be surprised why, but hey, turns out that Mr. Lavrov, our good old friend of the Ministry of Lies, I mean the Foreign Ministry, that guy from Russia, stated that, quote, "The regime in Kyiv is being controlled by Washington and its allies, who are pushing President Zelensky on the continuation of military actions." I mean, if Russia would be winning at this point, they would be screaming that that basically, well, they've beaten NATO. Because, you see, it's really shameful for them to be losing to just Ukraine. As we've been saying all this time, they are trying to present constantly this war as one where they're basically facing the West altogether, instead of, you know, just Ukraine, because it's kind of humiliating for their huge country to be actually losing. So, hey, of course they're going to try to tie in everything as it happens. And besides, this is the reason why they are so provocative towards NATO, since, after all, if they're going to get a fight against NATO, then at least won't be dishonorable for them to actually lose and do peace talks. Although, well, not like everyone in the Western side is united in all of this together as well. For example, now we know that Viktor Orban, the newly re-elected, through tons of gerrymandering and everything like that, Prime Minister of Hungary, has now demanded that Ukraine prove that it wasn't a setup and a publicity stunt what happened in Bucha. That alone is a bit weird and a bit, sad. Also, Hungary does not allow any Western aid to pass through its country, because they want to remain neutral. That's a bit of a shame on Orban here. And even Poland, who has been a staunch ally of Hungary's for a long while, because they're both conservative, well, even the vice premier about in the questions of safety, Jaroslaw Kaczynski, has stated that, quote, about this request of Orban's for Ukraine to prove that Bucha wasn't stated, quote, "Orban needs ophthalmologist to see Bucha." Basically, any restoration of our relationships can happen only after he basically stops supporting Russia in this situation, only he changes his mind about Ukraine. Because Poland really is now freezing their relationships with Hungary because of their position in Ukraine. Which I think is a good thing, since, well, Ukraine really does need all of our support. One thing, though, is the fact that because of how everything happens, we've still voted for a few things here in the EU, and countries of the EU have now stopped letting any cars registered in Russia or in Belarus to allow them in our territory. So EU will no longer allow Russian or Belarusian cars to enter EU, and also they have basically mandated that any freight cars from Russia or Belarus should leave EU until the 16th of April. And, you know, they won't be let in, but they have to leave too now. So this is a somewhat of a closing of land borders, I suppose. EU Parliament is doing this. Another thing is, like I mentioned this in the last episode, about how the YouTube is going to get blocked, and how Russia is now trying to stop every method of Google of earning money inside of Russia. And YouTube basically blocked this Russian propaganda channel Duma TV, or, well, Gosduma TV, basically their Russian council channel. And the Russians now have stated that the blocking of this channel on YouTube now give all the legitimate rights to basically do maximum damage to this video hosting site. This is what the chairman of the Committee of Gosduma of Security Matters, Piskaryov, stated. At this point, the deputy also said that that Russia needs to calculate all other ways of how Google earns money within Russia, and they should put a squeeze on them. Now, I really don't think that Google makes that much money in there, but there's this theory that they really wanted to block YouTube a long while ago in Russia. However, well, as YouTube is super popular, like I said yesterday, 67 million people in Russia use YouTube, they can't do it without any protest or anything, so they need to find a legitimate source. They're truly obsessed with paperwork. It's a Soviet tradition, really. We mentioned this in a lot of previous episodes, but this legality, like technicalities in paperwork, are very specific. Meanwhile, talking about still paperwork, this theater of the absurd is continuing. See, previously we had seen people being arrested for empty sheets of paper in protests in Moscow. We've seen people just holding their hands up, pretending they hold a poster, being arrested. We've seen people being arrested with posters stating that fascism не пройдет, or no to fascism. All of these were arrested without any doubts. Now, something new and nice have happened. See, in St. Petersburg, a man was basically penalized and had to pay a huge fine, about 50,000 rubles, for an anti-war protest, singular protest, with a poster in which it was stated, quote, "War has brought us so many sorrows that it is impossible to forget it. There is no forgiveness to those who once again dream about aggressive plans." Now, this seems like a very, very strong anti-war message, right? And obviously Russia would censor it. Well, you know, how does this tie into all this? Well, you see, this is a quote. This is a quote from Mr. Putin. "These are the words that Putin himself stated on the 75th anniversary and the victory of World War II. These are Putin's words. So now you can get fined and get into trouble with police in Russia for literally quoting Putin. This is something really interesting. I really don't know what those people are doing. I don't know if they're going out on the protests in poor purpose. But at this point, because all of this just proves that you really, really don't need a reason to get arrested in Russia. This just carries on. And I have one final thing for you, because, oh boy, we missed this guy on our channel. We missed Igor Girkin. See, he's been banned from YouTube, and he's been hard to find, because apparently, if you're using Latvian IP, you can't even look him up on Telegram. But I'm in Ukraine now, and I could find him via Ukrainian channels. So I can bring back our nice little segment: what does the most craziest pro-war, anti-Putin, separatist propaganda idiot? Or idiot in the moral sense of the word. He's actually quite good at strategy, and he brings believable data. What does he say about the war? Again, Igor Girkin used to be, for those of you who've forgotten our previous episodes, Igor Girkin used to be the leader of the separatist republics of Donetsk and Lugansk for a while. He instigated all this situation. He's a crazy monarchist who wants to restore the Russian Empire to its previous borders. And he's vehemently anti-Putin, but not because of any humanitarian ideals, but because he thinks Putin is not aggressive enough and is too friendly and too liberal in his relationships with the West. Even now, even after Bucha, which he completely denies that ever happened, and says that the foul so-called Ukrainian Nazis have basically dragged all the bodies there, which is a blatant lie. But I'm using his data about how the war is going for Russia, because he is definitely anti-Ukrainian. So Well, when he says something, you guys, including you, Kremlin trolls, cannot tell me that I'm using any pro-Ukrainian materials here. This is not Ukrainian Ukrainian propaganda or anything like that. This is Igor Girkin, staunch enemy of Ukraine, literally describing how his beloved Russia, whom he wants to succeed and win the war, is doing this war. So, let's see now. As of today, he states that he only has information about what he calls LDNR. That is basically Lugansk and Donetsk Oblast, which is the eastern flank, where Russia has now pulled, as Russia had pulled back everything from Kiev, now they've moved it to the east, and that is eastern Ukraine. Izhum, city of Izhum. There are fights in the region a bit south of the city, without any noticeable changes. There are mutual artillery strikes. Ukri, as they as he calls Ukrainians, are strengthening Slavyansk and Kramatorsk to defense, turning them together with the old and already long time strengthened Karauch in one huge fortress. Russian soldiers will be basically offered to basically smack their heads into this or just bleed out where they stand. Rubezhnoye, another little city. Despite previous announcements, the city is not completely under control of the forces of the separatist regions or the Russian Federation. There are still heavy battles in the city and its surroundings without any success. Popasnaya, same picture as with Rubezhnoye. Near Adyeyevka, there is no movement forward. This point has been turned into fortress and basically forcing them only with the second line of mobilized battalions of Donetsk. By the way, in Donetsk, they forcibly mobilize you. They grab you from the street and force you in the army now, which is sad because right now Russians are using Ukrainians as cannon fodder to fight more Ukrainians, which is a bit of a dirty thing. And Igor Girkin states that doing this and storming this town of Adyeyevka, it's pointless. Besides, and all of this is quoting him, besides, the army of Ukraine continues to actively entrench themselves and constantly replenishes its losses. Mariinka. Large part of this village is, as previously, under control of Ukrainian. In total, basically the same as Adyeyevka. In the direction of Kukhorovska, without any serious changes. Between Kukhorova itself is basically again turned into a very powerful defensive region, and it continues to get strengthened. Another fortress for our Russian soldiers to basically blast through. Mariupol. I don't have a believable source of information to confirm full control of Russian Federation and Donetsk over the Mariupol port. I can only state that complete control and it's been taken and defended, the near port village, and that our forces have entered, by our forces, he means Russian forces, have entered inside the port. There are still brutal fights in the surroundings of the factory Azovstal, but it's a long way until we can storm the factory itself. He also here criticizes the Kadyrovtsi, the soldiers of Ramzan Kadyrov, the Chechen forces. Quote, Kadyrovtsi are strictly on the second line, truly nothing more than TikTok forces. That's a direct quote, guys. So it's always weird. Kadyrovtsi are basically Zagrena Tryade, the guys who stand in the back of Russian soldiers and shoot them if they try to retreat. Always fun. And basically, in the first line, and continuing here, in the first line of attack of Russia, it's almost totally the Donetsk Republic, so-called Donetsk Republic forces, again, using Ukrainians to march forward and soak up more bullets, with basically predictable losses because they're not trained. He responds that he gets information from his previous ground troops who are now still in contact with him, that every day he gets messages, this guy that you know has been killed, these guys that you knew had been basically wounded. And here is his final basic comment of all the situation. In total, the assault of the army of Russian Federation has completely died down in Donbas as well. The continuation of attacks with the infantry of Donetsk sometimes bring unimportant local successes. With the regrouping of the Russian Federation armed forces, a lot of things are unknown. After 1-2 weeks, everything's going to turn green and it's going to be even harder to attack. And our time for the Russians to break the events of the battle and the events of the war and to switch favors into their side, yeah, that's running out. He, of course, accompanies this with sad messages about how this is terrible and awful, but for all of us, for the rest of us here in the sane world, these are great news. And with that, I'll leave you today. Happiness is mandatory. До свидания, товарищи. And of course, please, if you can, support me on Patreon, patreon.com/theeasternborder, or click the donate button on our webpage, theeasternborder.lv. And once again, I apologize for the advertisements if you listen to this in an Acast or any podcasting app where the Acast feed goes in. It's really not my fault. But they were supposed to be there for regular programming, which is much longer and edited too. But if you want to listen without ads, then please, you know, just go to theeasternborder.lv and listen from there. Or if you're a Patreon, then the feed that we have on patreon.com, that also has no ads. Just so you know, maybe you hate ads so much. I've heard that they break my sentences halfway through. And again, I feel really bad about this. And once again, Slava Ukraine, donate to the Ukrainian army. And we've posted links on the charities and stay strong, people. And, well, I'm going to message you all from Kyiv.